Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance. I think Lance is here. I don't see him on the screen. I see Dell on the screen. And Dell is a guy who goes above and beyond, okay? He's got us Jeremy. And where's Jeremy? When is Jeremy Pena coming on? Dell was having dinner last night with Jeremy Pena, the two of them. It was
It actually broke down.
It was it just you two, right?
No, it's a restaurant full of people trying to meet Jeremy Pena.
All trying to meet Jeremy. It was full, too. Apparently there was, what was the event? He speaks for what, which Mexican restaurant?
Taquerias Orandas?
Taqueria Orandas. Yep. Where was it? Which one was it?
Where'd you go? 249. It's a long way away from my home.
That's a long way for you.
30 minutes away from my home.
You drove all the way there on your own time?
To represent the station.
This is way. No one ever expected this, okay?
Wow.
Dell went all the way to 249 in what? In 1960?
I would have to look it up. I mean, I just typed it into my GPS to get there. I went there because the person, Saul, who set this up with the help of Chelsea, who works with us, is a big fan of the show. And obviously because you're out of town and Lance is out of town, someone had to go. And I talked to him, and things may be coming our way. We'll see how that works out. But, yeah, Jeremy Pena was there. He was very nice. I mean, there was like 25 tables full of people. He took pictures with every table as he was leaving, but it was a meet and greet more than a dinner.
Oh, so we got the exclusive. We were the only station
Jeremy,
there.
No, because they also do business with 610.
What?
So 610 people were there too.
Oh, that's awful.
That's no good.
But Saul is, when talking to him, said big fan of the morning of us three and the afternoon. So he wanted us to be there.
That's right.
And by us, it had to be me because you guys were busy.
Yeah, well, that was nice of you to go. I mean, but look, that's a team player.
You know that, who I tried right to there. Get in, John? You know who I tried to get in when I knew that I was going to be in Tuscaloosa and you were going to be Johnny Wood?
Eric Layden?
No, I tried to get Sam in.
Oh, you tried? Oh,
I said, you know, who would be great would be our social media director, and I can't remember her big title. And I actually put that out there, and then Chelsea, who handles it, our sales rep, said, well, he was very specific on who he wanted. And so I don't even know if she tried, but remember the famous story that she told on the air,
Well, you told it on the air.
I'm not sure she told it on the air.
Well, it's too late now. It's part of history. And she was at church on like a Tuesday, and Jeremy Pena was at her church, and she's like, I had a sweatshirt on. I had sweatpants on. She was not. And that moment when she saw Jeremy Pena, that was her big moment to see Jeremy Pena, and she was super casual. Literally changed her to where now she's starting to dress up more. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe she does it because she has a job. I've never looked at radios that way. I just dress the same slobby way every day. But she gets all dressed up now. She says, just in case, you know, she ever meets Jeremy Pena. So I don't know if she specifically said it like that, but in my mind,
she didn't. In fact, she clarified your nonsense and said that that meeting or near meeting with Jeremy Pena told her that you never know who you're going to meet, so always dress your best. It wasn't specifically directed at Jeremy Pena.
Well, but it was that meeting that changed her life.
I'm with Lance
on this one. She changed her life. She changed her life. And so Jeremy Pena could have changed her life if Dell would have taken her, but apparently
well,
not.
Chelsea, who set the whole thing up. Oh, I went from team player to selfish that quickly. Great. Good on you. But Chelsea had a plus one. Clearly. You go with the wind. Chelsea had a plus.
I'm like a cornerback that can pivot. Like this, really quick.
No, your cornerback who got beat deep by 5 yards, but the ball was overthrown, and you do the arm wave, like incomplete, like you did something. That's who you are. But Chelsea had a plus one. Her young son, Ashton, who was a big Astro fan, knew all the Astros. And,
well, that's good.
And so he got a picture, got a signed ball, so it was good.
Nice. So, helped Ashton, but you don't want to help Sam. Nice job.
Well, no, that's good.
I'm not into cook up people who work here with Pena.
Yeah, Sam. Okay.
I mean, she's the one who made it possible, and you just cook anyone from California. Right. You don't care anymore.
But, hey, they're both in church on Tuesday. They belong together. Okay.
That's Jeremy, what I'm saying. And Sam, I literally tried to get Sam.
What are you doing
in there, and it didn't work because I'm a team player.
What I'm trying to do is screw with you by making your face the biggest thing on the street because you've been talking already.
Somebody's going to grab that, and
it's fine. Dust the sources. Good. Go grab John's giant face.
And where are you, Lance, and why are you not on the screen?
It's telling me it's not. I've got to go to settings. It's blocking. It won't allow me. My permission settings here on NFL will not allow me to set up my camera, so I'll set it up. In case you don't know, you're basically right now talking to about 50 people or so. No, we got about 130. You can watch the stream of the show on Twitter. You can go there and find it. You can watch it on ESPN's YouTube channel, YouTube ESPN 97.5, or Twitch, which I don't know if we're supposed to talk about it, but that's where you can watch it. And hopefully, I'll have the settings fixed. I got to go through all the settings and get this fixed. I'm in Tuscaloosa. We made the 10-hour drive. Alec and I did right after the show yesterday. We drove back to Alabama for him. He's going back to school. His check-in date is today, so I'm going to fly back tomorrow. And it's funny. I got put in a room. I booked a Marriott, and it's regular price, that it normally is. And so I got that so I could get the points. And then for the first time ever, I guess I'm a gold member or whatever member I am from staying, because I stay at Marriott. That's an NFL property. So whenever I go to Senior Bowl or go to, the Combine, that's where they put us. So I get a certain amount of nights. So I get a certain amount of points or whatever. And so I'm like, well, let me stay there. So I'm a gold elite member or whatever member I am. And they put me, I book a room for the first time ever. They're supposed to upgrade me to a room if it's available, a nicer room. And I got upgraded for the first time ever into a junior suite.
Oh, nice.
Now, we're in Alabama at this property, and I go in, and it's kind of like a little bit of a poor man's version of what we get at the Golden Nugget, which I don't even want to say poor man's version. Like, it's good. It's got these big-ass TVs, this huge bathroom with bathtub and shower, and I'm like, man, this is the good life. So I went back downstairs and said, hey, I actually have to stay tomorrow. I didn't book for 2 days. Can I just book the same one? She goes, well, the rate goes to, I guess a lot of parents are coming in tomorrow, so your rate is going to be $535 tomorrow. I'm like, whoa.
Nope, I guess I can move. I can move out.
Yeah, and then I find, and she goes, and that's just for a regular room. That's not the junior.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's already in your room. I'm like,
listen,
$535.
Football weekends in Tuscaloosa. Holy crap. We went to an LSU game there. We had a room that had red carpeting on the walls. It had a bathtub in the room, not in the bathroom, in the room. It was a hot tub and a mirror on the ceiling.
Okay, and so you went to a swingers hotel.
Well, that's exactly what we did, but that's all we could get, and it was like $600 a night. Yeah, and it was, you want to talk about, I think it had the coins next to the bed, the coin slots next to the bed. It was the worst, and that's all you could, and that's $600 in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, it's impossible.
And that's,
Alex,
and that was 10 years ago or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Alex, so they had senior weekend or whatever, not seniors weekend, they had, parents weekend. And I didn't think anything of it. And I started looking at the rooms, and I'm like, oh, my God. And I just told him, listen, we love you so much. We'll see when you come home.
But
we ain't coming to Tuscaloosa for a $700 hotel room.
Listen, you drive him there and then fly back. That shows your love. That's
enough.
Yeah,
that's good enough. I'm going to help him move.
I sent JT, have fun. Just stay off your phone while you're driving. Bye. Have a good trip back.
Is JT's drive? Does he have a drive? Like, I just didn't. Well, my wife really didn't want Alec driving 10 hours by himself.
Right. Well, JT drives 12 hours up to Springfield by himself.
How about, that's a drive there. Look over. I'm, like, trying to get a little bit of sleep early. I look over one time, like, hey, Alec, did you notice that it's literally, you're going 101 miles an hour? Do you want me to call and tell your mom? He started laughing. And I said, seriously, slow it down. Let's at least take it down to 83. Can we drop it down to that? Because, you know, you get going on some of these long roads across country, and the flow of traffic, you don't realize how fast people drive.
Yeah, right. No.
That's fast. But
good on the kid. Good on the kid. Step on it, Alec. We want to get there.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, he learned from the best.
Yeah, right.
I'm not a slow driver like his mom who always loses time. I try to explain to her, men have a thing where we want to make time. We keep track when we leave. We keep track when we're going to get there. We want our stops for gas and bathroom to be short because we're trying to make time. All of us have a little bit of Chevy Chase and vacation in our system.
So I've rented a Jeep here, and my nephew, well, Wendy's nephew and her and his wife came in, and she's pregnant for their first kid. And, boy, he was scared to death yesterday as I'm driving around L.A. He's like, Uncle John, I got some precious cargo here. Could you please kind of calm it down just a little bit? I was like, we got to get there, son. Okay? We got to get there. That's all there is to it. So we got a good show for you today. We ended up at a party yesterday. Holy crap, dude. I've never been, the Pumps here, I don't know if anybody out there knows who the Pumps are. Anyway, they have a big charity event.
They're very handsome twins.
Well, that's not it. They're twins, but the other part, they've got a huge event here for a hospital, charity for a hospital. And I've never been in a place with this many. It was incredible. Hall of Famers and Iverson was here, Jake Paul, Jim McMahon. I mean, I could name drop all night. The only picture I took was with Sugar Ray. Sugar Ray Leonard was here, and I got a picture of him with me, JT, and him, and that was it. But it was Michael Cooper, Byron Scott, Steven Jackson, and Carlos Boozer, and it was incredible.
The Pumps are huge. They used to be big. You know who was a good friend of theirs also is Jeff Van Gundy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they've been in the basketball, the AAU world for years, and they got all these relations with all these guys. But it was just a Kim Kardashian lookalike. I mean, we looked at her 30 times and said, not sure. I can't tell. No, that's not her. It ain't. Oh, my God, but that's her. She had all the curves. She had all of it. I mean, it was a lot of fun.
You didn't ask her to turn around, did you?
I didn't have to. I mean, all you had to do was go like a little glance to the side, and you were like, oh my God, that could be her. Holy crap! If she was doing the weather, forget about it. Deer Park disappears. Okay, it's over. It was really a great event. So I'm not going to the dinner is tonight, and that's where all the speeches and crap are and all that. Nah, not interested. This was the party. Couldn't have been more fun. So I had that. Now I wasn't able to get anybody on the show because I saw Warren Moon for a while. It was great. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to get him on the show. He's like, oh, that's a little early, bro.
Everything's early on the West
Coast.
Yeah,
no. It's impossible here. It's impossible to get anybody to do this, what I'm doing. But Dell certainly has Jeremy Pena. What's the date? What time is he coming on this morning, Dell? You got it all set up? That's great.
Jeremy blocked me. Branham.
Jeremy Branham got him?
Jeremy Branham was there, too. He wouldn't allow me to talk to Pena.
What a C block. What a P block. Pena block that was.
I don't like blocking and a man.
Well, he man was blocking.
Don't say C block.
He was P blocking.
Don't
you.
See C block when a man is involved.
Well, he was P blocking you. That's for sure.
Jeremy Pena is very nice. We were just there, and you couldn't even walk up to him, to be honest with you, because of the number of people who were waiting to talk to him.
Oh, yeah.
And they just gave him – so they had to calm people down. Hey, don't stand in line, because he was up on a bit of a – I don't know what you want to call it, but a riser.
Yeah.
So he spoke when he got there, thanked everyone for coming out, talked about how happy he was to be there. And then they're like, you know what we're going to do? At the end of the night, Jeremy's just going to walk around and take pictures, because we don't want people standing up for the entire experience trying to get in line.
That was fun. That was good. So you got a chance when he took the picture with you? You said, okay, what time are you on tomorrow?
No.
Should have done that.
No.
Okay.
Let that man.
You only get so many opportunities. Okay?
Yeah,
I'm going to predict 0 for Astros for anybody there.
Yeah, no one. No, it's 790s.
They're not getting an Astro.
No.
But I'll tell you this. I know your room. I bet it's not that cold. I bet if you had Vanderford air there, it'd be better.
Well, it's amazingly cold.
Okay, you don't need Vanderford right now?
But I don't need Vanderford now, but then again, I don't live here. And I had Vanderford Air come out to my home, and I'm going to have them come do their summer checkup. I'm not really having issues, but I want them to come check up. This is what you do. Every single year, you have Vanderford come out, and they do the checkup, and they did it last year. They say, okay, this is what's going on. This is loose in your system. We tighten it up for you. We cleaned out the drain. Your emergency drain was extremely full. There was a lot of gunk and mess in there. And we, you know, basically took our cleaner and cleaned it completely out. And all the stuff that came out of it was horrible. And that's what let me know, man, I got to stay on top of this every year to keep this working the way it's supposed to. Now, they also added a whole home dehumidifier for me because I hate humidity. And it's made a big difference in my home in terms of just the comfort level. But for you, if your home isn't cooling the way you want it to, then your air conditioner is either not big enough or there's something wrong with it. And if something needs to be fixed, if there's a part that needs to be replaced, they can diagnose it and do it for you quickly so you do get cool. Or if you need a new system, they've got a variety of systems to choose from for different price points that do different things. But the main thing is they're going to find one that cools you the way that you're supposed to be, and that's efficient, and that's the right size for your home. Call Vanderford Air today. This is your company that you can trust for air conditioning stuff. 281-557-COOL. That's 281-557-COOL.
ESPN 97.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I guess it's drive your kids back to school week, okay? Because that's what Lance did. He is in Tuscaloosa right now, as a matter of fact, at a beautiful swanky suite, because that's the way he rolls. And also Chris is driving his daughter back to school. Well, that's awfully nice. What school does she go to?
We're going to Howard Payne in Central Texas.
Nice.
A little small school. So really had two questions. One, Lance, doesn't Maddie have the blue dot on everybody in your family's phone? Wouldn't Alec catch some heat from her for driving 101?
Everybody's
list of sins in the family and call them out at probably dinner time.
She's already said that he's the worst driver in the house. So yeah, he can't. I can't tell his mom or Maddie. I can't do that. I'm not a snitch like that.
And then secondly, my daughter's behind me. We get in the open road and then she passes me up and I can't. She's way ahead of me. Like, Well, what am I supposed to do? I call her? This is kind of like an info line question. I mean, is she that excited to get to school? I don't know. You know what I mean? It's kind of crazy. You get on the open road and they call.
No, pick up your game, Dad. Pick up your game. How are you letting your daughter beat you? You need to race.
Okay, I'm following Lance's advice.
No, he's a pace car. He can't follow yours. You had a pregnant, you had a pregnant woman having to tell you to slow down. So you're out of this conversation.
No. You need to race and see who gets there first before you have a little bet, a little wager with your daughter.
Precious cargo. Okay. Precious cargo.
Let's go. Who can be
cargo,
who?
Okay.
You're a terrible driver if you beat me.
No,
if I don't
you're the
beat
pace
you.
Car. If she speeds up, you can say, "Hey, I'm taking the heat for the police. If the police stop us, it's on me." Get back behind me. Hmm. That's what you do, Chris.
Well,
you had to have a man tell you to slow down on a rented Jeep because you're driving crazy with a pregnant woman. Yeah. You are not allowed on this info line.
Just have a race with your daughter, and if she beats you, then you're embarrassing yourself.
Hey, you know what you don't find in Alabama? Paper straws. They're still fully plastic.
Oh, really? Yeah, no. You know what you don't find in California? Plastic straws.
Plastic straws, I know.
They're
every
illegal
time I'm
here.
There getting iced coffee, it's like, well, I better go fast before this disintegrates.
Right. Chris, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for listening on your road up to Howard Payne. Catch your daughter, though. Okay, don't embarrass yourself. She's going to be like, I'm so embarrassed by my father. I can't even drive as fast
as
I can.
We're not in a race, daughter.
Yeah.
She's in a race to get back to school. I guess that's good either. Although I'm guessing it's not for the classes, it's for seeing friends.
Me and Frankie had, see who could hit more cars, and she won. She won that one.
Yeah,
she
you're adding to my point about not listening to you.
She beat me handily on who could hit more cars.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. So we have no Astros yesterday. As you can tell, the sports, it's 24 minutes in, we're 0 for sports. We had no Astros. And which was unfortunate because right now we're at a place where you can't wait for the next Astro game. You just absolutely can't wait. And, John, even though they have a long road ahead of them with 18 straight games that's about to kick off today, it's not like you start with the roughest opponent.
What are you talking about? You're talking about the White Sox? I'm a little scared. I'm a little nervous for this one.
What are you? We're afraid of the White Sox now?
Yeah, because it's embarrassing. It's much like your daughter beating you in a race to college. It's like if you even lose one of these games, especially the way that they're playing, 8 straight wins on the road. Holy crap, are they playing good baseball? Now they get the day off. They come home. You can relax a little bit. It's the White Sox. And then, boom, what? Oh, my gosh. Any loss against the White Sox, you lose ground. It's like if you're playing a par 5 that everybody is birdieing and you par it, you're like, oh, I just lost some to the field there.
I mean, you're really taking it to another level being afraid of the White Sox.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, this is one that you got to sweep. This is one that it's potentially embarrassing to play this team, honestly.
So these what? It's embarrassing because they suck. I love playing teams that suck. This is great.
The Astros, historically,
they're 11-49 at home. Who can they play that you won't fear?
Well,
they're 11-49 on the road. The White Sox.
I'm just the fear factor is even losing a game. That's the fear factor. Now, I'm not afraid of the White Sox. Obviously, they're the worst team in baseball history, which makes it even more embarrassing if you lose that. Don't embarrass us, Astros, this week. Okay?
I'm sure they won't. I'm sure they won't. The Astros have a 3-game lead right now. With a chance to extend.
I told you, they're running away with this thing. It's not even going to be close.
They have a great chance to extend right now against the White Sox. The Seattle Mariners, they've lost 3 in a row. They got swept by the Tigers.
That's embarrassing. That's an embarrassment.
Well, I'm not worried about embarrassing. I'm just worried about winning the division. They had swept the Mets. You know, they were playing good.
What are you worried about? I told you, they're running away with this thing. It's not even going to be
Tigers,
close.
The Tigers have beaten them 5 of the last 6. Over the last 2 series, they lost 2 or 3 to the Tigers at home. They swept the Mets. Then they got swept by the Tigers. And then today the Mariners finally have a breather as they get Paul Skenes. So they got to get a little taste of Paul Skeens.
Well,
tonight.
See, they were feasting on the Lambs earlier in the season.
Yeah,
and the Astros were playing a much tougher schedule early on. The Astros, while they were playing really crappy baseball, so no excuses about the schedule. But they also did have a tougher schedule. Plus, they were playing like crap at home. The whole thing was just the first month and a half of the season was un-Astro-like, which is why you just had to have some patience and the team was going to come through. And look at them now. I'm telling you, this could be double. They could win the division by double digits. Double digits this division, okay? There, I made another prediction. This division is won by double digits, okay? I've made it. That's it. And so we ain't scared of no Mariners. They're awful. You can have Randy Rosarena. Why don't you get Adolis Garcia? Why don't you get Ron Gant? Get all of the Astro killers from history and see, and we'll find out whether or not you
not
can
from
beat.
History.
From history, yeah, all of them.
Man.
Get all
right
of them
right off the bat. We've
okay.
got
Jim Edmonds,
Albert Pujols,
Pujols and Edmonds, and all of them.
Adolis
okay.
Edmonds, ugh.
Yeah, we ain't scared of you.
Kerry Wood is pitching against us.
That would be something.
Yeah, be careful. I don't want Kerry Wood.
I don't want Kerry Wood. But other than Kerry Wood, you can have them all. Okay, go get them. They went and got Randy Rosarena. Like they okay. Let's take a guy who kills the Astros and let's see what happens. You know what's going to happen? Nothing. You still suck. You can't hit. That's what.
John,
that's
who has the longest win streak in Major League Baseball right
the
now?
The Astros.
That's right.
8 games.
The Astros at 8, and the second closest is 5 for the Cleveland Indians.
Well, who cares about
that? I mean, I'm sorry, Cleveland Guardians.
Guardians. Your mama called them the Indians? Okay, that's all. What did your mom call them? What did your mom call him?
She called them nothing. She didn't know they existed.
Yes, she did.
My mother.
She's
a
big.
Yeah, my mother
fan.
Never.
My mother
about
didn't know.
Marsha
never
sports.
Talked about an American League team. We were a National League family back then.
Oh, that's true. She probably never did watch the Indians. Okay. Well, she saw. She must have seen Wild Thing and Major League, right?
No, she didn't see Wild Thing.
She didn't see it.
Nah, I don't think she saw it. But you know, it's funny. The other day, I'm trying to remember who it was who asked me this. Somebody asked me, hey, Lance, what did you think? Gosh, I got to remember who it was who said they grew up as an Astro. Oh, it was when we were in Durango, we were on a raft and we were rafting down this whitewater and our guide was originally from Dallas and he happened to go see Nolan Ryan. He moved to, he said, I'm originally from Dallas-Fort Worth area, which always means not from Dallas. It means around the area. And he said, I was a parole officer for 14 years, and now I decided to make a switch in my lifestyle and career. I've never been more broke in my life and never been more happy with what I do now. And he said he had been in Durango for over 10 years, been, you know, as a ski coach and a raft guide, and he said he's broke, but he just loves his life. Well, anyway, he was telling me about he grew up and his dad had been in the oil business, and he happened to go see Nolan Ryan's his no hitter against the A's. He saw his 5,000 strikeout game. He saw like 3 really kick ass big time Nolan Ryan games, and he asked me. He said, "What did you think about the Astros moving to the American League?" And I said, "You know, at first I was pissed. First I was really pissed and didn't like it." I said, you know, fast forward about 3 years, maybe 4 years, certainly fast forward to now, about 10 years later, and I'm like, who cares? I can't believe how fast I got over it. And I'm also like, why would anyone ever hit a pitcher? That's the dumbest thing ever. The DH is the best. We should have always had DHs.
Well, I mean, it's not like you ever overreact initially to like a pitch clock or bigger bases or
the pitch clock
a kickoff. The NFL changing the kickoff.
Oh no, the kickoff! I want. I've already won the kickoff rule.
No, see, it's going to be fine, and nobody's going to care. It's just going to be. It's going to be. It's going to be kickoff.
Looks so.
Actually, it's better for the game. All of these things. You probably hated the 24 shots, the second shot clock. I mean. And you definitely overreact initially to things. And
no.
Here's the thing. I'm going to tell you this. Listen, the Astros went to the better league. The American League has dominated the National League. Dominated. They killed the All-Star game.
But now, you didn't like
game.
It when they – I wasn't at the station with you when it happened, but were you happy that they got forced into the
another
American?
Another overreaction. No, no. You left. Another overreaction on your part.
Yeah, you left a whole – you left the station because of it.
I mean, no, that was a proper reaction.
Well, just one more well,
that reaction was
overreaction.
Fine.
Overreaction. Yeah, no,
that,
no, no.
That station
no, it wasn't
into...
a proper reaction. You actually went to a place and came back, so you actually overreacted.
Clearly.
No,
overreacted.
I waited until everything got cleaned up.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
Well, you're not going to like what they're proposing. We can maybe talk about it on the side.
Okay,
we can do
what
two...
they're proposing is him talking about Craig DeCerf is what they're proposing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, no, no. We'll, on the other side, we'll talk about the new baseball. And now that is an interesting one I want to get into. Craig DeCerf is one that I have been I've been part of the Craig DeCerf way for years and years. And the reason that I've sent so many friends and family members over there, people ask all the time, probably 14 to 15 different people I've sent there personally. And I think it's been 12 who've ended up purchasing. There's a huge hit rate. And the reason's simple. Craig DeCerf and Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, honestly, their prices are lower to start with. They have the ability to start negotiating wherever they want. And Craig DeCerf doesn't want this to be contentious. He understands the worst stigma of the car buying industry is the high pressure sales tactics. That is never, ever the case at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. You can go to LandZCars.com, find a vehicle you want, and then they are going to give you. They're going to give you as many discounts as they can find. They're going to give you the highest value for your trade-in. They're going to find you every potential dealer cash back and incentive that they can find you. They're going to do everything they can so that you are happy because they understand you are the best. You're the best word-of-mouth advertisement for them. So make sure that you give them a shot. For example, the GMC Sierra 1500 SLT 5.3-liter V8 engine right now, they've got a $6,000 purchase allowance when you trade in an eligible vehicle. That's unbelievable. It's at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Make sure that you shop at LanceZ.cars. Find the vehicle you want, and let's get it done with Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 for Friday morning. Basically a holiday show. We're all on the road. Nobody seems to care, right? So that's what we're doing. We're just going to have a little holiday show here. What is it that you want to talk about? You're more than welcome to get in, interrupt the show at any time. We got a rapper. Woods is on the line.
No. Woods is a caller. He has some news for us about someone big to Houston who's passed away.
Oh no, Woods, what's up, Wood?
What's going on, fellas? Good morning, man. Considering we are a show for the culture, and John, you're a man of the people, I'm shocked that we didn't get to this already. But Houston, kind of legend, B King, man, passed away yesterday at 39. So every strip tonight is basically doing a buy one, get one on chicken wings. Also, the other day I called in, and before Lance got triggered with me calling him Siegfried and Roy, I had called Dell, the trapeze artist of the show, having a jump from show to show.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, oh, there it is. Yes, if we remember, Lance could not take the fact that Woods called him that.
Right. That he was Siegfried and Roy because he gets eaten by a lion or something.
Mauled or maimed.
Maimed. Whatevs. I mean.
Yeah, and he was. I mean, you know, he's flashier than I am.
You were a star. Siegfried and Roy are huge stars.
Flashy. Okay? And zesty.
And they're flashy. They are flashy now. Let's put it that way. They are.
How about
flashy.
Zesty?
Zesty. Yep. They're zesty. There's no question. But I think they're stars. Okay. When you give up, you know, being around women. To be a star?
Is that how you're describing it?
They didn't go into the priesthood.
Okay. To be a star, you have to give up something. Okay?
But you do have to make sacrifices.
You do.
You know, you have to make certain sacrifices. So, man, so make sure that you – listen, you've got buy one, get one at the wings at strip clubs, as Wood said. So right. It's going to be big. By the way, my son put me on to every Houston rapper. My son, what I learned on the drive-in is that Alec has a substantially better musical taste than Mason. Because Alec's got all the, he's like this, like Don Toliver. He goes, oh, this is Don Toliver. I've seen his name around town, like on little, he goes, you need to get up on Don Toliver. He didn't know Sauce Walker somehow, but he was putting me on like three or four different Houston. I said, I didn't know we had younger rappers. He goes, oh, yeah. Yeah, they're pretty good. So yeah. He had a whole list of guys that he was putting. And then I was like, okay. So he listened to that. And when he was driving his first 4 hours, I drove the next four. And he ended up having to listen to a book called Never Split the Difference about negotiating tactics. So it was substantially different listening in the car. And then once I almost fell asleep and drove off the road, I realized, yeah, I got to stop listening to a book.
Yeah, no. That'll put you right to sleep. Books are, yeah. they're terrible people. Books are terrible people, and they will put you to sleep. So what is the MLB news, Dell, that we need to talk about?
They are considering, and it may be years from now, they're considering a 6-inning minimum for a starting pitcher. There are some exceptions, but 6-inning minimum.
Okay, so hold on. So this is the first time you're seeing this, right, John?
Yeah.
I want to get your initial reaction.
That's dumb.
6-inning minimum on a starting pitcher.
I mean, if a guy's giving up 14 runs in the third, you're going to keep him out there?
No. Okay, so here's the caveats. If you hit 100 pitches, you can come out. If you've given up 4 runs, you can come out.
4 runs?
If there's an injury, you can come out. So there are. So basically, once you've gone over the quality start threshold of 3 runs, you are now eligible to come out, 4 runs or more.
Oh.
If you hit 100 pitches. And the reason they're trying to do this, apparently, one of the reasons, is they want to make the starting pitcher the headliner again. They want to get away from all this. Well, didn't say get away from starting pitchers throwing as hard as they can, but some people believe that is part of it, is that they stop worrying about velo as much because there is a belief that that is what one of the things that's causing the arm injuries is they don't have to pitch as long, so they're throwing as hard as they can as opposed to, you know how it used to be, John, pitchers would kind of pace themselves to go 7-8 innings.
Right. That's the difference between a starter and a reliever. A reliever can come in and throw as hard as he wants and, you know, for an inning. And then, you know, well, and Tampa started this whole, you know, opener thing.
Well, that's drastic. Not many teams do that.
No, but you do when you what are you going to do when you're down a pitcher like the Astros were and you're starting Taylor Scott? You're going to make him go a reliever who's coming out of the pen in an emergency situation.
Yes.
You're going to make
or
him
pick
go
someone
six
else.
Innings?
Yeah, it looks
like. Well, who's someone else? I mean, you ran out of starters.
Minor leaguer, I guess Forrest Whitley's coming up.
Yeah, that's who I want throwing 6 innings. F out of here with that. No, we ain't doing that. Okay,
we might.
My initial thought is, you know what? I guess you would make. You know what? Now the starters, they're going to be a lot more valuable. And as if you're not paying your starters enough. Now they're going to be, you know, it goes up in value because you're going to two-thirds of the game is going to be dependent on one guy. As opposed to I can pull him whenever I want. My initial reaction is, I don't know. But you know what? If they do it, who cares?
As they have the caveats in there, like when you first hear it, it's jarring. And then when you hear, okay, they can come out at 100. And I still don't like the fact that, okay, so major league teams cannot have autonomy over when they take a pitcher out. Like, this is crazy. But at the same time, it accounts for injury. If there's an injury, if they hit 100 pitches, right. So there's pitcher usage. And then the third one is if they're getting beat and they've given up 4 runs. But they want to make the starting pitcher the headliner again and get away from, you know, analytics, for as great as analytics has been in many areas of analyzing, what I don't like is it's caused the smart guys to get into, especially basketball and baseball, and really strip some of the gamesmanship out of it. Like the 3-point shot, right? I get so frustrated arguing with my kids about basketball and eras because you cannot, like 90s basketball didn't covet, they don't covet the 3-point line. It was not considered a good shot. Well, now that the mathematicians got a hold of basketball, they realize, okay, the three-point shot is the shot. And you don't want mid-range, and you want threes and free throws, and you want layups in the paint. And so they've taken some, like, Daryl Morey stripped some of the beauty out of basketball.
Oh, yeah, it's not the same game.
Can you imagine Michael Jordan? Half of his iconic shots we wouldn't have seen because they'd have been three-pointers.
Yeah. Well, he at the end, he started, you know, some of his best shots were the three-pointers, especially against the Jazz,
All of his iconic shots at the mid-ranges or the drives into the basket.
No. He had the three-pointers where he's shrugging his shoulders.
That's the Portland series. That's the only time you remember it.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything else was the pull-up against Byron Russell, the pull-up against Craig Elo, the fadeaway, you know, the fadeaway from the when he was in the triangle offense. Like, that is scorned. You look at baseball and pitching, it's about throwing as hard as you can, getting as much spin rate as you can, and also pitch as hard as you can for five innings, and that's fine. We're going to bullpen this thing up. That's not, you know, it is true. The headliners used to be the starting pitchers, and now it's really, I would argue, it's more about the bullpen you have, because you look at the Astros, look what they had in 2022, a phenomenal bullpen, a phenomenal, at least they pitched like it in the postseason. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes the analytics stuff can really, I think it just micromanages, like it's just robotic and mechanical.
They made the relievers come in for three outs now. I could see them making starters stay six in. And you know what? Who knows? It might make the game better because you put a more premium on one guy as opposed to, you know, throwing 100 guys out there. And actually the game might move along faster. Well, we'll see, unless they're getting lit up and there's a bunch of runs in the game. And actually that might lead to more scoring. There's another thing that Major League Baseball wants is more scoring. And if a guy's getting lit up and he's in a lot of trouble, he gives up a four spot, you know
what?
That's another
one, John. We're not going to worry about making we're just going to try to hit as many home runs as possible.
Yeah.
Look what happened to the hitting in Major League Baseball has really taken a tumble.
Yeah, and maybe a starting pitcher staying out there longer than he should will add to offense. We got to break it here. 703-780-3776 if you want to get in here. I want to talk about Chastain Ford. Chastain Ford, they want me to talk about all of the unbelievable deals that they've got going on right now. I love to talk about the dealership and what they mean to me and what they will mean to you. Joining the Chastain family, that is awfully important. It is, I mean, I've got a loyalty to them. I love what they do. I don't know if I'm going to bring my Lightning here, but I know that I'm going to get my next vehicle. I'm going to trade that in, and I'm going to get it a vehicle from Chastain Ford. $299 a month right now for the Bronco Sport. I mean, that is just ridiculous. Zero down options for the Explorer and F-150. I mean, $4,500 summer cash available on models like the F-150, XLT, Expeditions. It can't be better what they're trying to do. Get you in here. It's the dog days of summer. It's so hot out there. Are you kind of sluggish about buying? Well, don't be sluggish right now because there's money in them there hills at Chastain Ford. They're ready for you. They want to give you no hidden fees, no add-ons, no markups. They just don't do it. They just don't do that. What they do is they get you in that vehicle at the price that you've got to be at. One of the first questions they ask, where do your payments have to be? Because that's awfully important to them that you're not choking on it and you enjoy your car buying experience at ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got some callers that want to get in here, but quickly, we haven't even mentioned. Concerned at all about Davis Mills' bruised ribs? Didn't practice yesterday, and he's been looking pretty good. I don't know that this means anything for CJ. I doubt he'll play more because of this. You've got, obviously, Case Keenum can pick up a lot of the slack if Davis Mills can't go. D'Amico didn't say he can't go, but we'll see. He said he's not really concerned about it. And then we got – who's the other guy we got? We got another quarterback that comes
Tim Boyle.
Four. Who?
Tim Boyle.
Tim Boyle, yeah. Him. That guy who won't be here. Tim Boyle. You might see a lot of Tim Boyle come Saturday night against the Giants. How much does CJ play? How much would you play him?
I would play CJ. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see him play a quarter and a half.
I don't think he'll play that much. Probably a couple series again.
That's fine. I mean, that's fine too. I don't know what the right answer is. If somebody gets hurt, then you're the biggest a-hole on the planet, yeah. And you're the worst. And we've got to stop. And it's time to end the sham of a preseason football. You know how it is. I mean, as soon as a good player gets hurt, what are we doing? Why do these players even play? We must protect them, bubble wrap them, and give them more money. Do whatever it takes to never have to play again. Like, it's just part of the game. I think preseason is necessary with the warm-ups unless you have extended. One thing that I don't think you can do, I've always thought that having those, you know, those group practices were a good idea, and I still think they are. But, man, they lead to some scraps.
Yeah.
I mean, they lead to a lot of scraps. Did you see how many fights there were at the Giants and Chargers? They got in a ton of fights. I think it was Giants-Chargers.
It was Giants-Lions? Giants-Lions?
Oh, no, yeah, it may have been Giants-Lions. But there was another group practice that led to a bunch of fights as well. So, I don't know. I mean, I actually think preseason football is good. You need to get some, you know, maybe not for starters, but, man, you'd love for your starters to be able to, you know, to be able to work some rust off. I think it's great for a Case Keenum. I would love to see Case Keenum get a whole damn game. That's great if he wants to. Or Davis Mills plays half of, you know, game four and Case plays the other half. That should be good. But I think they're going to eliminate one of the preseason games, and they're going to go to 18 games. But keep those two preseason playoff. I think keep the two preseason games. That's what I would do. Are they going to start the season a week early, or are they going to finish it a week late? Because here it is, well, it's brutal heat, but, you know, you're not playing in it. But, like, in Miami, it'll be an abject disaster. It's
going to
be so unbelievably hot. But then in other places, if you wait a week longer, man, the entire Northeast could be a nightmare from a cold standpoint.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, how are they going to do it?
When they go to 18 games?
Yeah, I've heard they're gonna push it to later.
Yeah, well, I don't know. They should probably go. Well, I don't know if they do. They want to start the same week as college football. I don't know.
No, I've heard they're gonna keep the start time the same, and the talk is about
and keep going later.
Extending the season, yeah, extending the year.
Or they're gonna be playing the Super Bowl in March, pretty soon. Who's up first here, Dell? Miguel is here. He wants to get on the radio. Hey, Miguel.
Hey, guys. I've been here for 20 years, born and raised in Chicago, go Bears, and going to Vegas next week, and I want to see you take on some new restaurants. I've been to Gordon Ramsay Steak and that steak place at the Wing and Tom Colloquio, see what you guys have tried. And by the way, we want to do a magic show. David Blaine or Copperfield? Let me get your take on those.
David Blaine. Go to Bizarre Meat by Jose Andres. That's I went there one time. Holy crap. It's like an elevated Fogo de Chao. You can't believe how much meat you get, how much steak you get. It's at the SLS hotel, but I thought it was absolutely fantastic.
So we went to, you know, at the Aria. Carbone is what everybody's clamoring. There's a line out there and everything else. Right across the way is Bardot Brasserie. It was excellent. It's French. I'm opposed to the French. I'm against them. I if we started a war with France, I'd be fine with that. But this restaurant,
It's just a restaurant.
I know. I'm not going to start a war with them. I just think they're bad people. But this one. is really, really good. We were really surprised how good it was. It wasn't crazy expensive, and it was really good. And Carbone in Vegas is overrated. Carbone in New York is supposed to. My daughter and my wife went. I haven't been, but they loved it. Carbone in Vegas overrated. Bardot Brasserie in the Aria, really good. We really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I like the Bazaar Meats at SLS. It's further down the strip, though, is where you got it going. I'm looking at some. Those are the ones. I mean, that's what one of the ones. I have not been to a lot of restaurants in Vegas since it became so restaurant centric. Like you get.
Yeah,
some,
I don't know. It's a place to go to eat now. Yeah. Holy crap, it is really.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Eater Essential 38 list, and like they've got some great spots on here. You should be able to find something there fairly easily. That's the only place I had the In-N-Out burger, and I was like, really? This is the
excitement. I had one one of the first days we were here. It was good. It's fine. It's a smash burger.
I'm not saying it's not okay. Bad.
It's okay. It's good. It's good, but it's not everybody. My nephew, what we drove by, I haven't had a In-N-Out burger in so long. You ain't missing that much. There's better burgers. I'm just saying. Whataburger is better. Done. I said it. Whataburger is better. Well, yeah. So suck on that.
Oh,
California.
You're playing to the Texas crowd. Remember, everyone listening lives in Texas. We already know that Whataburger is better.
Not everybody. No, we got people all over the world listening.
About six people in Houston think that, and they're from California. That's because you were trying to California our Texas.
No, I'm not trying to California anything. California, you can keep. The only thing I'm telling you, the scenery here is second to none. But everything else.
What do you mean by scenery?
Oh, I mean the topography.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I have to check with you.
Oh, well, the scenery, okay, ain't too bad either.
No.
There were some dresses at this party last night that we were all like, what in the wow, that is something to wear. It's not much to wear, but it's something. Holy crap. Listen, we had all of these athletes, and you know L.A. with the money and everything else. It brings out the girls. What? Holy crap. But, of course, I'm married. It doesn't.
What are you saying? Women are driven by money?
Yeah.
What are you saying?
I'm just saying.
California's different, Del.
Yeah.
Are you, though?
In Texas, all the women are doing things for love and for passion.
You never find a Texas woman near money. Okay. We got to break it here. I talked a little bit about maybe trading in my vehicle. I'm going to definitely find out what it's worth at GiveMeTheVIN.com. That is a place that you just go first. You have to go to GiveMeTheVIN.com first to find out what your vehicle is worth. You're going to get a square deal. You're going to get John Clay Wolf. Actually, it's not a square deal. It's usually more than the car is worth because he wants it. He doesn't do anything if he can't buy the car, right? So he doesn't have a business. His business is buying cars and then selling them at auction. So, you know, after you give it to him, he's got to fixes it up. He does all the detailing and everything else, makes it look as pretty as possible, and then puts it on the auction block, and that's where he makes his money. And in some cases, he loses money. He's done it plenty, lost money. He paid too much for it and then didn't get enough for it when he sold it. But in a lot of cases, he buys it. He makes pennies on the dollar, but he buys in volume. And the reason he buys in volume is because he pays you more. He gets more cars. He buys more cars because he gives more for the cars. You're not going to sell your vehicle to somebody. Oh, you know what? I like John Clay Wolf. I'm going to give him a deal. No, you're going to take the most for your vehicle. And John Clay Wolf knows that. And here's the deal. You get more for your car, and you get it at GiveMeTheVIN.com. GiveMeTheVIN.com. It's the only place that you have to go if you're selling your car. GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5.